98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
4 o'clock reset, top stories of the day. We go over them and react to them here at 4 o'clock on the Burns and Gambo show. And we start with the Arizona Diamondbacks in their home opener tonight against the Cincinnati Reds. And the Diamondbacks got some good news today. They have activated outfielder Cole Calhoun off the injured list.
That he was getting very, very close. My conversations with him throughout the course of the past 10 days have told me that as well. And we were going to put him in a situation to go out there and be healthy and be successful. And I think the target day was today. He worked his butt off to make today happen. And he told us he was ready. The medical team signed off on it. So it got to that point where we were super excited about putting him in there. And we'll wait and see how it goes tonight.
Starting in right field, hitting second tonight, Gambo.
It's 16 homers in 54 games last year. If you project that over 162 games, he would have hit 48 home runs last year and driven in 120 runs.
Wow.
48 home runs. He hit 16 in 54 games. That isn't it for average. I mean, he had 226 last year with the D-backs. The year before with the Angels, he had 232. Not an average guy, but he gives you that power, and he's a good defensive player, too.
Taylor Widener is going to start tonight. The Diamondbacks have moved some things around with their rotation. We didn't know who was going to start tomorrow's game since Caleb Smith got moved to the bullpen. Now we do. Riley Smith will be getting the start tomorrow for the Diamondbacks.
We felt like there was a good attack plan that that he follows, and you know, he has a fearless mentality by filling up the strike zone, and we're looking for somebody to pitch deep into games, and we felt like his stuff and his mound presence was going to give us the best chance to go out and win a baseball game.
Remember, he gave them five innings of relief in Caleb's. Yeah, against the Padres.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he was good in that game. I mean, he was pretty good. He got five ground balls in that game, and he struck out four. So he'll get the opportunity. I mean, all of these guys, you're going to see, you know, wait till you see at the end of the season how many starting pitches they're going to use. It's going to be,
I know.
I mean, it's going to be a lot.
Yeah, I tend to think you're right. It appears the University of Arizona has narrowed its coaching search and may be announcing a new hire soon. Here's Jeff Goodman on the Bickley and Murata show from Stadium.
I don't think you can go wrong with Damon. I don't think you can go wrong with Tommy Lloyd. I think they're both really, really good choices. And as an Arizona alum, I would be happy with either one.
Damon is Damon Stoudemire, of course, the coach of Pacific. Tommy Lloyd, the long-time assistant and associate head coach of Gonzaga. Those two guys, along with Miles Simon, reportedly, Gambo, have been interviewed for the job.
I love Damon Stoudemire. I mean, played with Khalid Reeves on that Final Four team and then earned his due. When assistant coach at Memphis and assistant coach at U of A, head coach Pacific. He was the coach of the year in that conference one year. I mean, I would love the Damon Stoudemire hire if they get him.
Meanwhile, from the NFL, and we haven't talked about this yet, trouble could be brewing in the NFL potentially between the players and teams over off-season workouts. The president of the NFL Players Association, J.C. Treader, told players on a call today that the union is pushing for an all-virtual off-season just like last year and would urge players to boycott if teams conduct in-person OTAs this spring. Said Treader, quote, "We've been telling them it's voluntary and we're not going to go," close quote. I don't know. Came out of nowhere, this story did today. Nowhere.
Okay. I mean, listen, you got to pick and choose your battles. You really want to fight over an off-season workout?
Yeah, that aren't that hard or physical or demanding. I mean, I understand the quality of play wasn't affected last year by doing it virtually. I get that, because it really wasn't. I mean, you couldn't really tell the difference. But if you've got a chance to do some in-person work, shouldn't you take that chance and do some in-person work to give yourself more time to get? Do you need to go this far and make it all virtual all the time? I don't like this idea. Not at all.
Well, listen, there's a lot of things that we're worried about in that with that the pandemic may change that may not be good changes. Look, we got to get. Did you watch that Suns game last night? Those guys can't do a game from the booth. It was terrible. It was terrible. Kevin Harlan,
they're not in the arena. They're at home watching the game,
awful.
And it would be very nice when they can be back. Yeah,
the delay's terrible. It's just so bad. I mean, let's go get them back into the arenas like now.
Yeah. Yep, but like you say, some of these changes are here to stay, and it would seem as if the NFL Players Association might be wanting this change to stay. But Our top story of the day today is about the Phoenix Suns and, of course, their loss last night to the L.A. Clippers.
Los Angeles Clippers came out. They delivered the early punch, and then they came strong down the stretch to close it out and win this game. The final score, Clippers win it, 113-103.
Suns cut it, I believe, to about 6 with about 6 minutes to go in this game. They got within 4, actually. With about 6.5 minutes to go, they made one last push, and then the Clippers went on a 10-0 run that was fueled largely by Paul George, who had himself a really, really good night last night, and a very physical playoff-type game. Suns hung as long as they could, and I think fatigue kind of set in on that team in the fourth quarter a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I mean, he's, you know, there was a time when these teams would, they wouldn't play their best players against. The Suns were a joke. These teams wouldn't. You wouldn't have a chippy game between the Clippers and the Suns because the Suns weren't respected. I mean, you got to take it as a thing of pride that these teams want to come out and they want to fight with you and just flagrant ones and technicals and elbows and trash talking. Because in the past, the Phoenix Suns were a laughing stock for years. They were a laughing stock where you would never get the intensity of a game like this with the Phoenix Suns. They were what the Rockets are right now. The way the Clippers are treating the Rockets right now, that's what the Phoenix Suns used to be. So I'll take this.
And Paul George, whom we'll hear from in just a few minutes, because he had some very pointed comments about the chippiness and sort of the way these two teams have gotten under each other's skin so far this year. We'll play some of those comments for you coming up in just a couple of minutes because they were really interesting and we need to comment on those. But by and large, I think even though they split these games, and you and I talked a lot yesterday about, you know, is a split good enough? Do you want both? Of course, everybody wanted the Suns to win both of these games. But I think the way the Suns competed last night, even though they lost by 10, shows once again they are more than capable of competing in physical, playoff basketball-type atmospheres, and that their guys are going to respond in those moments. The Suns did not back down one bit to the L.A. Clippers. And were these two teams playing all, you know, with a day's rest on a normal schedule, with a little time off in between such an emotional game like the Suns played on the Jazz? I would love to see how that game would have turned out because the Clippers kind of inherently had an advantage baked into that game. It was almost like a schedule loss for the Suns the minute the schedule was released.
Yeah, the Suns, I mean, you know, like the Jazz were probably looking at, hey, we didn't knock down any threes in that game. That's why we lost. I mean, Clippers knocked out all their threes, but the Suns didn't get anything from Dario. They didn't get any. Chris Paul had 3 assists. Jay Crowder didn't give them anything. So, like, it's hard. Like, it's going to be hard to beat a good team like this if you've got several of your key players not contributing. Now, could be a lot of reasons for that, but even with that being said, I mean, the score was 93-89. In the fourth quarter, it was a 4-point game. It was 93-89. So they were not able to put that game away until under 3 minutes were left. The Clippers, under 3 minutes. That's when, okay, they got the lead. You know, at that point, they got the lead up to about 13. I think Rondo scored a basket. It was like a 30. Okay, that's so the Suns battled them, right? You know, in the fourth quarter, it was close. But that's when the Clippers pulled away because that's when they had a little extra juice in the Suns. We're not making any shots. Suns had a bad fourth quarter. I mean, they didn't make any shots. I mean, they struggled in that fourth quarter. They struggled shooting the ball, and they struggled from three. Devin Booker's gone 2 games in a row now without knocking down a 3-point shot.
Yep, and you could argue that part of the reason Monty has made this argument, you know, without trying to make an excuse for it, you know, we just kind of lost our legs. And when you lose your legs, you lose your jumper. And when you lose your jumper, you go 6 of 24 from the 3-point. Paul George had more 3-pointers made than the Suns did as a team last night. Is that all tired legs? No, but did that have something to do with it? It did. I was very encouraged with how they played last night. I was very encouraged by how they did not back down to the challenges last night. Now, when we come back in the Burns and Gambo show, specifically as it relates to that, last night's game had an edge to it. It was undeniable. Is that just heat of the moment type stuff? Or is there some real animosity between the Suns and the Clippers? We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Kawhi Leonard gets a bounce pass from Beverly at the top of the arc. Dribbles against Jay Crowder. Gets to the right block. Floater up. No. Rebound put up. No good by Patterson. Chris Paul comes out of it and
is fouled
in the backcourt by Patrick Beverly, who throws his hand straight up in the air to claim that he fouled it, as if that's going to lessen what he just did, discarding Chris Paul to the deck. And now words from Jay Crowder with the officials and Patrick Beverly, who still has his hand pointing straight up in the air obnoxiously, but that's who Patrick Patrick Beverley is. You've seen him play basketball.
Oh,
before.
Wow. He threw it.
Threw a right elbow.
Sean Bloom. I love it. I love it. That sounds like, that'd be like what you would sound like calling play by play for the Phoenix Suns. Oh, yeah, Patrick Beverley. I mean, he's just obnoxious. Everybody knows it, right?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I love it. Good job, Bloomer.
I think that, you know, part of them is, they're new and somebody's got to put them in their place. And that was, I think, in some ways, the Clippers kind of wanted to do that last night. Let's put these guys in their place.
Yeah.
High and mighty, coming off of everybody's talking about them. They're nothing. And that's what the Clippers wanted to do. They wanted to prove that. So I think in some ways they wanted to send a message, put them in their place, just kind of bully them around a little bit, try to bully them a little bit. And so, you had that a few times last night. It was a very chippy game.
Yeah, it was a physical game, flagrant fouls. Ejections. You had the Booker hard foul on Kawhi Leonard. You had that foul on Chris Powell, Chris Paul, I should say, from Patrick Beverley. Marcus Morris got run from the game. I mean, the whole game very clearly had an edge, and I kind of thought the same thing you did. It was almost like the Clippers were trying to test the Suns to a certain extent, right? Let's push them a little bit and see if they push back. Let's push them a little bit and see if they wilt. See if they're intimidated. See if they back down. And, man, if there's one thing we saw in that Utah game, Suns didn't back down. And even though they lost last night by 10, and I'm going to go back, and I sent this to you. There was the writer from The Athletic who wrote about last night's game. In his description of the game, I love this. I put this in bold in the email I sent you. There was a different feeling in the building against the Suns, he wrote. Despite the logistical disadvantage the Suns were on, the Clippers were challenged physically. And he said, look, this wasn't the Lakers with all their injuries. This wasn't the Blazers who don't play defense.
Right.
The Suns challenged the Clippers physically last night, and I loved that. I loved that the Suns made the Clippers feel that last night. Even in a 10-point loss, I think that's a good sign for the Suns. Very good sign.
You know, listen, they came out, right, and they had that really good first half. The Suns shot 66%. They made 23 out of 35 baskets. They were up by two. DeAndre Ayton was really good. They had 32 points in the paint in the first half. And I think they shot 82% in the second quarter. And I think they're here to stay. The Clippers hadn't seen the Suns in a long time. It's been a long time since they've seen Phoenix. This team... And this is a fair way to judge it. This team is a lot different than the last time they played the Clippers, just like they were with the Jazz. They're a lot different the last time they played. They're better. They're playing together. They didn't have any chemistry in the beginning. They had no continuity. Monty didn't know the right substitution patterns, who to play with who, how to use the bench. I mean, all of that was new. You were factoring in Jay Crowder to this equation and Chris Paul to this equation and – other new players as well, trying to figure out where do these guys fit in? And Torrey Craig wasn't even with the team.
Right.
So it's just a different team. It is better. They're a better team because they know each other better now. They've learned how to play together, and they're just better. So the Clippers got a chance to see a different Suns team than the first time they played them.
Paul George after the game, and Paul George had a magnificent game last night. He was 7-9 from the three-point line. He had 33 points. He single-handedly was responsible for that, almost single-handedly for that 10-0 run they had when the Suns cut it to four with about 6.5 to go. He talked about the chirping between the Clips and the Suns last night.
I mean, it's more so we focused on us. I don't know what that chirp is about. We focus on us. I don't care what they're doing over there. I don't care who they are, what they're doing. I'm locked in. They can do the chirping. I let them have it tonight. I just stayed in my zone, stayed in my place. I don't know. I don't know. Again, I don't care what they're doing. We're focused on us over here. We're focused on getting better. Tonight was a fun matchup. And we appreciate the challenge.
We appreciate the challenge. But listen to him. Oh, man, they're not in my head. No, man, they're chirping. They can chirp all they want. I'm not thinking about it. I'm not paying any attention to that. Trying not to let the Suns think for a second that they got into the Clippers' head or that they matched their physicality at all because they don't want to give the Suns that kind of credit that comes along with something like that.
I was really, the comments and everything, you almost, you know, were they trying to discount the Suns, or have the Suns somehow gotten in their head a little bit to where they feel like they have to talk like that? Like, I was trying to figure that out, and sometimes you try to read between the lines, and I had a difficult time with that. How did you read it?
Okay, I read it like when Rocky is fighting Mr. T, Clubber Lang, in Rocky III, in the final match, right? The championship bout at the end of the movie. And Clubber hits him a couple times. And Rocky, when the bell rings at the end of the round, you ain't so bad, right?
Yeah.
And I kind of felt like Paul George's comments were the equivalent of, you ain't so bad, you know, you guys, oh, you have the second best record in the NBA, you ain't so bad, you're not... We're not intimidated by you. We're not going to let you get in our head.
You didn't invent basketball.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
And for the record, Chris,
you don't want anything?
Chris Paul did exactly the same thing on the other side when he was asked last night about that Patrick Beverley foul and the fact that Bev got ejected from the game. Chris Paul, again, kind of the same thing, just totally dismissive, like it wasn't that big of a deal.
I'm worried about me. I was actually trying to – I played a game, you know what I mean? Like, I knew that he was about to try to take a foul, so I jumped trying to get a three. Trying to get three free throws, so, man, it is what it is.
Same thing. You ain't so bad. Yeah, I didn't even think about it. Big deal. You know, I was trying to get free throws. Man, do whatever you want to do. If these two teams meet in the second round of the NBA playoffs, and that's where they're – projected to right now, it is going to be a brawl, man. Just a brawl. Because these two teams, so busy insisting that they're not in each other's heads. You watch that game last night, it's very clear. It's a physical battle out there between the Suns and
right,
the Clippers.
And you're trying to intimidate the other guy, and you're trying to bring a level of physicality that makes them kind of back down.
Yeah.
You know, challenge them and see how they respond. And sometimes, you know, they'll back down. And the Suns haven't backed down. I think that I have a lot of respect for that. Now, I think the addition of Paul and Crowder make that a big deal. Jay Crowder just looks mean, you know? Dude, he just looks mean. Like, he was sitting there right there, right, with was a Pat Babb. Like, he's just standing right there, and he just looks like one of those guys. If he's walking on one side of the road, you'll cross the street and go to the other side of the road.
Yeah.
He's got that look to him. So, I think that they are – perfectly willing to match another team's physicality.
Yeah, and what, pre-Chris Paul, pre-Jay Crowder? I don't know how the Suns would have responded in a moment like that. But kind
they were too young. They were young.
Exactly.
You got to deal with what Marquese Chris and Dragan Bender, and they were just too young, you know? And so it was hard to, you know, it was hard for those guys to, and the other guys, we had Tyson Chandler and with Trevor, like, you guys were losing so many games that those guys, they were checked out for a lot of it, you know? Mm-hmm. So the younger guys, you know, Marquese Chris tried to play tough guy a few different times, and it's just, I think other teams kind of laughed at him like that.
I think you're right. No one's laughing at Chris Paul, and nobody laughs at Jay Crowder, and I don't think based off of, you know, Paul George can dismiss it all he wants. Chris Paul can dismiss it all he wants. It's obvious these two teams annoy each other. It's plain as day. They annoy each other. They annoyed each other on January 3rd. They're annoying each other on April whatever the day is, April 8th when they played last night. They get on each other's nerves, which would
make...
Do
you want them? Do you want them in the playoffs?
I'm kind of with you. That's a team that looks like a really tough out for the Suns based off of a matchup. I'd rather have – I think the Suns match up better against Utah. I don't know about the Lakers because we haven't seen them full strength in a while. That's hard. They look like a really good team when they're full strength. The Nuggets, same thing. I think the Clippers can be had because I think they're an organization that come playoff time, they always find a way to get in their own way come playoff time. So I don't mind the matchup, but I can see why you'd look at them and say they're not a good matchup for the Suns. I can see why you'd think that.
Again, style, right? Their style, the way they play, okay. They probably scare me more than anybody else, but most people will probably say the Lakers.
Yeah.
I mean, Denver could – each team scares you in their own way.
Amen.
Right? I mean, Denver too. Like,
yeah.
Each team can scare you in their own way, and I'm sure – you know, I'm sure in some ways there are teams looking at the Suns and saying, boy, that's just not a good matchup for us. They, And it might be. I mean, there might be teams that say, look, I'd rather play Denver than play the Suns, or I would rather play Utah than play the Suns, because the Suns are just, they're a difficult matchup. So I think that it just every matchup's different.
When we come back, there's no denying he is a supremely talented player. How much are the Cardinals willing to give up if they want to trade up to get Kyle Pitts in this draft? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show. All right, we rolled out our Twitter poll question of the day at 2:30. You can find it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page, at Burns and Gambo. One word is where you can find that. Kyle Pitts is the subject of today's Twitter poll question.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Talking about him a lot. Gambo brought him up a few weeks ago. Peter Schrager mocked him to the Cardinals in his draft yesterday with the Cards moving up. A lot of attention he's been getting lately, Sarah.
Yes, that is correct. And Gambo, we just got a tweet from one of our listeners, JJ Samsonite, says, I can't hear the name Kyle Pitts without hearing Rub the Bunions in my head anymore. So thanks for that.
That's too funny.
Ew.
For some people, yeah.
Oh, God, I forgot about Rob the Bunions.
I did, too. And I saw the tweet and just shot me back. I was like, ah!
It was this time a week ago we were talking about, yeah, Kyle Pitts is great, but, man, how are you going to pay for that in terms of all the draft capital you're going to have to give up to move up to get him? And Gambo said, well, you know, sometimes you just have to rub the bunions. And
well, you said, yeah, sometimes things are just out of your range and there's nothing you can do. But what you can do is you can rub the bunions.
Yep.
God, I was hoping we had forgotten all about the bunions and rubbing them, but apparently not. Wait, one more time for me, Jordan, please. One more time.
Yes, my buttocks.
Time to rub the bunions.
Oh, my God. What year was that commercial?
1999. It's an eBay commercial.
How
E-Trade.
E-Trade. I'm sorry, not E-Trade. Even eBay. E-Trade. Yeah,
in
sorry.
The world, you retain that commercial 20-plus years later.
Gambo's like, that's a miracle
wild.
Of modern science.
Indeed.
In some ways. He really is. All right, so that aside, what's the question and what are the results so far?
Yes, so we were asking, Gambo already put this out there a couple weeks ago, but yesterday, which is why we're asking about it today, Peter Schrager put out a mock draft that has the Cardinals trading up to get the wonder, boy wonder, Kyle Pitts, the Florida tight end, at number 7. We're asking Cardinals fans, would you be okay with this, with the Cardinals doing whatever they could to get Kyle Pitts? It's a yes or no question. Yes, that dude's a game changer. Go get him. Or no way. Don't give up all you would have to give up for a tight end.
Bernsey's already answered this and said no. I'm. Why not? Let's go. Let's have some fun. Roll the dice. The kid's a beast.
He is a beast.
I mean, Cardinals have never had a good tight end. I'm on board. Let's do it.
All right.
Okay.
Does our audience still agree with Gambo?
Yeah. 64% of our audience agrees with Gambo.
Okay.
And 36% say, please no.
Yeah. Well, it's we specifically designed the question to make you choose, because when you hear some of these options that are in front of you that I'm about to go through, you can see that it's not necessarily a yes or no question. There's a lot of, you know, variance in all of this.
Sure.
Our friends over at cardswire.com, Jess Root in particular, he took this Kyle Pitts story and he ran with it. And he, using the Draft Network's mock draft machine, he ran about 20 simulations of the draft. In those simulations, Gambo, Pitts never made it to the 10th pick in the draft. The tight end out of Florida was never there at number 10. He was always gone. Most of the time, the Dolphins took him at number 6. He doesn't think the Dolphins are moving out. The Bengals say they're going to stay at 5. So he then ran simulations of what the Cardinals would have to give up to move up to 4, 7, 8, or 9 to get him. 7, 8, or 9, it's pretty reasonable. If
4's out of 4's, there's no way with 4.
4
it.
Is nuts. In the simulation that Jess used to determine could you get up to 4, from 16 to 4 to get him, the Cardinals would have to give up their first rounder this year, their second rounder this year, a first rounder next year, and a first rounder in 2023. It's insane. You're not doing
that. Yeah, I'd almost rather just give up my firstborn.
Well, hey, careful. She might be listening right now. I don't know if you want to say that about
her. Maybe if I'm Steve Keim, I'll just give up my first child.
Okay, because my first child's probably listening right now, and I'm not giving him up for that.
Would you rather give up your first child or three first-round draft picks?
I'd rather give up the draft picks.
You got another child.
I love you, Jake, if you're listening. I wouldn't give you up.
I would. I mean, you know, there's not that many draft picks. I mean, you can have other kids.
I hope Kaylee's not listening right now because she's going to be very offended if she is. that's based off of his simulation. That's what it would take. Trading up to number four.
Because that's quarterback's territory right there.
Right.
That's quarterback territory. It's amazing how much it goes down, though, from four to, seven, eight, nine.
Yeah.
It just goes to, because four, that's just a no. I mean, that's just we want three first-round picks. Okay, thanks. Just thought we'd check. Goodbye.
Yep.
I mean, that's it. There's no conversation there. You can't do it. You just can't do it.
And that's the nuance with our poll question. It's never just a firm yes or no. We just kind of wanted to make everybody answer yes or no to see where people stood on this. But you're right. That's going from 16 to 4. And that's where you know for sure you can get them. All these other spots, 7, 8, 9, you can't execute any of these trades until draft night because you wouldn't know he was there. But for the record, the way Jess figured it, if you go up to 7, and that's where Peter Schrager mocked the Cardinals would trade up to get him, the Cardinals would give up their first rounder this year and their first rounder next year. That's all it would take to go from 16 to 7. Okay?
I mean, if you love the guy, right? Now, I was just looking. If you look at the draft order, man, is there any way somebody could take him and it would be a surprise? Like Jacksonville, no. The Jets, no. San Francisco, no, they got a tight end. So I think you're safe. Like, you don't got to worry about, like, if this kid's really, because everybody's tied to him now. Oh, the Cowboys should get him. The Panthers should get him. The Falcons need to get him. All of these teams are now, like he's really wowing a lot of people. So
yeah.
That's why, like, there's teams that will look to move up just to get him, and that's why the cost is going to be pretty high. But I give up. I mean, if you love the kid and you think he's going to be dynamic and he's going to be the next Tony Gonzalez, by all means, go trade two first-round picks for him.
Yeah. What's interesting about that, there was a story today on ProFootballTalk.com about how Jerry Jones reportedly is infatuated with Kyle Pitts. Chris Mortensen on ESPN, quote, "We're hearing this thing about Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys and the GM, being infatuated with Kyle Pitts. He's going to have to trade up to get him. He spent $40 million a year on Dak Prescott, so why not go get Kyle Pitts? The Cowboys are sitting at number 10. So for them to move up somewhere to be able to get him, they'd have to give up that pick, and they'd probably have to give up a future first rounder just like the Cardinals would have to. But it is interesting to think that a report like that might be being leaked a little bit because somebody might be trying to drive up the price of a trade up to get Kyle Pitts. Hey, you're offering this right now, but, Jerry Jones is calling, so you might need to up your offer a little bit if you want to make sure you get him, right? I mean, there could be a little mini bidding war going on behind the scenes for Kyle Pitts, which with whatever team is holding on to the spot that he might go at.
It's interesting because one of the names most closely tied to the Cowboys up until now has been Patrick Surtain.
Yes.
So he's been a guy very closely associated with Dallas. So if Dallas goes somewhere else, you just wonder. You hope that I hope that one of the top two cornerbacks drops, because I think that that's where it ends. I don't think the Cardinal – I think that they're – to take a cornerback, I think there's got to be one of the two guys has to be there, Surtain or Horn. I don't know that they go three deep. I don't know if the top two cornerbacks are gone and they're sitting there at 16 that they would take a cornerback.
Tonight is the Diamondbacks home opener. Real life, actual fans in attendance, about 20,000 of them when it's all said and done. Can the Diamondbacks use this home crowd to get things right? We'll talk about it coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo talk Diamondbacks baseball with a D-backs broadcaster, The Booth.
It's a fact check. I'm back. You back. We back.
Presented by Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi, the official wine of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, we back.
Now that we're in the swing of the baseball season, it is our opportunity every Friday to talk to one of the members of the Diamondbacks broadcast team. And today we talk to the legendary member of the Diamondbacks broadcast team who is called every single opening day for the Arizona Diamondbacks in franchise history. Of course, I'm talking about the governor, Greg Schulte, who joins us live from Chase Field here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Greg, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. I wish the team was playing a little bit better, but, you know, home game fans actually in the stands, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
guys.
From your perspective, I mean, you've been doing games in an empty Chase Field, no fans. Sometimes the team is there. Sometimes they're somewhere else, and you're watching the game on monitors. What do you think tonight is going to be like for you with 20,000 or so people there in an actual baseball game?
Well, I think it'll be exciting simply because, like you said, you know, last year we sat in this ballpark when the team was here. The only people making noise was a grounds crew, and they did a nice job. But it'll be nice having fans scattered around. We got a little glimpse of it on the preseason ball game with Cleveland here. And the fans were noisy. They were into it. So it'll be fun tonight. You know, you have all the pregame hoopla and everything else, the flyover. So once you get in there and start the action, it's going to be fun for us to sit here in the broadcast booth and actually seeing players on the field instead of watching a TV screen.
Well, bad news, good news, right? Ketel Marte being out is tough. But getting Cole Calhoun back, I mean, he was on pace. If you would have just split that up, he would have hit 48 homers and driven in 120 runs last year in a full 162 games. He gave this team some much-needed power last year, and they could use that this year, especially against the Reds team that's hitting the hell out of the ball right now.
They're hitting the heck out of the ball, and they're pitching well, and you know, they're all facets of their ball game going pretty well. But yeah, getting Calhoun back, 16 homers, 40 driven in a quarter of a season last year, so. That'll be nice, to say the least. And, you know, Nick Ahmed's getting close. Zach Gallen's getting close. You know, if Ketel has dodged a bullet, and we still haven't heard the imaging report that they have taken on him, he was supposed to get that late this afternoon, then if they dodge a bullet on that and he only misses maybe 10, 12 days or whatever, then, you know, you've got a ball club that is a little bit more like last season with a lot of veteran guys in there.
Greg Schulte joining us live from Chase Field. D-backs and the Reds tonight, 6:40, the home opener for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Opening day around here for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Through all the games that you've covered so far this season, that you've called, I should say, so far this season, what has you more concerned, the rotation or the inconsistencies of the offense so far?
Well, you know, they hit the heck out of the ball during spring training, but again, that's spring training, but they've been pretty inconsistent offensively. If you look at the batting averages, there's not a whole lot there, and you look at the Reds' batting averages, and the only two guys that aren't hitting are the 3 and 4 hitters, Votto and Suarez, but they're getting it done offensively. Starting pitching, you know, you have first three starters go, what was it, four innings, 3 innings, and you finally got the good game out of Widener. So hoping the second time through the order, Taylor's got to pick it up again tonight. But it's all concerning. You know, even the defense has been a little bit concerning from time to time. So just have to play better baseball. It's a tough schedule. We knew that looking at it. 17 of the first 22 are on the road, and this next road trip is going to be brutal. Going to Atlanta and then Cincinnati, and starting it off with Washington. In fact, so. That's a tough 10-game road trip, so they really need to play well here at home, see if they can beat this Reds team, take a couple from Oakland who's not been playing well, and then you know, try and change their fortunes on the road. Didn't play well on the road last year, guys. They were 9-21 away from Chase Field, so they have to play much better on the road.
What did you like about Taylor's first start that what he made in San Diego last weekend? What stood out to you about that one?
I liked the command that he had. You know, he was around the plate. It didn't look nervous whatsoever. Of course, he had 12 ball games last season with the Diamondbacks all in relief. But I thought he seemed very poised. He seemed very confident, and I'm looking for more of that again here tonight.
Yeah, and I hope so too. I mean, he was that fastball was really, really good in that game, and he used it quite a bit. But, you know, second time around, right, there's a little bit of a scouting report on him now because he did go 6 innings, and, you know, the Reds have something to look at from just 5 days ago. So be interesting to see what the game plan is tonight against, you know, as we talked about, a very good offensive hitting lineup that's hitting a lot of home runs, because there is a little bit for the Reds to go on now compared to, you know, what the Padres had, which was not much.
Well, baseball is a game of adjustments. It always has been. And I'm sure the Reds will be looking for certain things from Taylor Widener. And, you know, have to adjust or whatever. But I'm anxious to see him pitch. I really liked what I saw that first time out, and I've liked him since they got him in the trade from the Yankees, that three-way deal with Tampa Bay. So we'll see what we get tonight, but I'm looking for a nice outing. Anxious to see this Reds ball club because they did play three games against Pittsburgh. The Pirates are a rebuilding ball club, but they took two out of three from St. Louis, so they're playing well right now with a lot of enthusiasm, and they're a very confident group, to say the least.
Good stuff. Greg, we appreciate the time. We look forward to seeing you down there at some point in time this during this homestand or during this season. So thanks for coming on, man.
We look forward to seeing you guys here.
You bet. Greg Schulte joining us live from Chase Field. I wanted to cut away from that because we heard the national anthem back there in the background. But Greg
He's
Schulte
just practicing.
I know. But it's, you know, it's just wanted to show the respect and all that. But and speaking of showing respect, by the way, kudos to the Arizona Diamondbacks, and I expected to see this. I'm sure by now you've seen the Jody Jackson or the Steve Gilbert tweet, the dedicated spot that they have for Pedro Gomez in the press box there at Chase Field.
Oh, that is fantastic.
They've got a card up and a scorecard and some flowers in the seat where Pedro Gomez would have sat for a game. Like, he wasn't at every game, obviously. With ESPN, he was quite busy and not at just one game all the time. But that is a very nice memorial sort of site for him in the press box. I saw the A's last week did something very similar. And nice to see the Arizona Diamondbacks honor Pedro Gomez. Absolutely.
Well, I'm looking at that now on Jody Jackson's Twitter feed. That's fantastic. Love seeing that. That's just great.
Yeah, it's weird watching all this baseball. And you know, I think you said something about that on opening day a week and a half ago about how kind of makes you sad a little bit to think that, you know, Pedro Gomez is not around to see opening day this year in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, that was one of the first things I thought of when we had opening day. Was, man, opening day without Pedro. I mean, that was his holiday, right? That was his day. He loved baseball, and his, you know, his son plays baseball, and it just, you know, that was his life. And you know, we, for us, baseball's our favorite sport. Me and you, we don't hide that, but we cover basketball and football and hockey and everything. I mean, so we talk about it. So we don't have that one dedicated sport as much as we love baseball as our number one. You know, Pedro was baseball through and through. I mean, that was in his blood. That's what he loved covering, and he was great at it.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, even though the Suns split this brutal back-to-back against the Jazz and the Clippers, it appears they did enough to make people think they are legit and real over these last couple of games when it comes to the playoffs. And we'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo show.